You are listening to the Talking Books podcast, a podcast dedicated to the true statement that leaders are readers. We hope you enjoy it and find the discussion helpful as you learn and develop as a leader. Why not join the discussion by visiting carltoncommunitychurch.com/talkingbooks and click join the discussion below the podcast episode. We would love to hear from you.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Talking Books. We have been working through a book called Leadership Pain by Samuel R. Chand, and today we are discussing the final chapter.
Yes!
Which is It's Your Move.
Woo-hoo! And
we're going to talk about this chapter in more detail. John's going to give an overview. But as always, we'd love for you to join the discussion.
We would.
So go to carltoncommunitychurch.com/talkingbooks, find this episode, and then click the button that takes you to the discussion page. So this is our final episode on this book, John, and we're going to take a little break and then be back in a few weeks with our next book, which is...
Encouragement, The Unexpected Power of Building Others Up by Larry Crabb. That is Encouragement, The Unexpected Power of Building Others Up by Larry Crabb. I suggest you go and get it.
Yeah, go and buy it now and start reading that, and we'll be back in a few weeks to discuss that. But today, as I said, we're talking about It's Your Move, which is chapter 11, the final chapter of Leadership Pain. So John's going to give us a quick overview. Over to you.
First of all, I want to say how much we've enjoyed and grown in doing these podcasts, and I trust you found them helpful and encouraging. So It's Your Move, and basically, you've probably worked it out already, that it's about the choices we make when pain comes across our path. Mm. And the kind of subheadings are, it's common to us all. So the pain you're going through may have a different location, but everyone goes through pain.
Yeah.
And then the good news is you can expect even more pain. No matter how experienced you are, it isn't just for your first 10 years of leadership, it'll be forever.
Yeah.
As long as we are on this journey in life and towards seeing the Lord, pain will be part of the pathway of progress.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it deals with the crucible of humility. And finally, how we pay it forward, how we bless people by our response to our pain, because people are watching.
Yeah. And he starts here with a story by Cheryl Brady, who has Cheryl Brady Ministries in Plano, Texas. And this story is about Cheryl had a church, and they put their heart and their soul into this church. They did. They pawned all their valuables. They sold all their valuables in order to pay for running this church. They also, she shared a story about how she used to put water into the milk that they had.
Oh, wow.
In order to make things go further,
yeah.
Because they had no money, because they were pouring everything into this church, and then lo and behold, the church failed, and she blamed God, and she blamed the process, is the phrase that she used, and she shared a quote at the end, and she said this, if I can get that, it says, "Forgiving the process is very important. It's a very important step, because when we forgive these types of things, God then works it all together for our good. He reveals, I was just getting you ready for where I needed to take you."
Whoa.
Eventually. And needless to say, she did not enjoy the time of going through that process. And I don't think any of us really do enjoy going through painful situations and painful processes.
If you do, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, but we just got to remember that God works it all together for our good.
He does.
And he was just getting you ready for where you needed to be.
And she says also, "I couldn't see where all the pain would lead, but he could. I didn't think I had the strength to endure, but God knew it was there. He knew what was inside me and was cultivating it for when it would be needed the most."
Yeah.
The whole process and experience were preparation for a future Lord. And I think, Wes, for me, that's one of the key things of this book.
Yeah.
Is that we have to, and particularly in the last few chapters we've been doing, it's about God's perspective.
Yeah.
And if we can approach pain, that God is in this, doesn't mean he's caused it, but he's allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
And there are some lessons. Because the Bible says that tribulation worketh patience, and patience character. So if we're going to grow into being people with character, substantial character, patience in pain is very important. And I think if we can see that, then everything changes. Because we see this, as we talked a few minutes ago, it's not an intruder, but it's a harbinger of blessing.
Yeah.
It's coming with blessing. God is using this to refine me and to develop me. And I actually see parts of me I didn't realize were there.
Yeah.
For good or bad.
Yeah. And she actually says, and this comes from her Cheryl Brady's book, You Have It In You. And she actually says, if you're in the midst of a training session right now, be encouraged that this season will not destroy you.
No.
It will prepare you.
Absolutely.
As painful as all the blows may feel, cling to God and trust him to bring you through it. Praise him for where he's leading you and how well equipped you'll be once you arrived.
Fantastic. And for you who are listening, maybe just press the pause button for a minute and just ponder over that. Because those kind of sayings are life transforming. For where you are right now, they are life transforming. Mm-hmm. And Samuel in page 233 makes these comments, which he said throughout the book, pain is inevitable.
Yeah.
Pain incubates. Pain is indifferent. The way we interpret and respond to pain throws us into a gear that propels us forward or backward.
Yeah.
That's true, Wes.
Yeah, amazing quote there, actually. Very challenging. You either go into, you either go forward or you go in reverse.
Up or down.
But it's up to you.
Absolutely. Hard or soft.
Yeah.
While pain itself is indifferent, it never has an indifferent effect. Pain will shift you one way or the other. We all have a default mode of dealing with pain. And I think that's true. And we talked in the last episode about how people grow up in healthy families, normal families, peaceful families, and handling pain is much easier for them. Maybe that's the wrong words, but have a different perspective and they're stronger people.
Yeah.
And the default button is different. So he talks about the default mode here. Fight. We fight it. We flight, which means run away, or we freeze, we just stand still.
Yeah.
It's the way we've dealt with conflicts, threats, fears, and loss all our lives. But our default mode may not be a productive, healthy way to handle pain any longer. Now it's time to change. Mm. Change only happens when our level of desire, or actually desperation, rises above the level of our fears. Pain is a watershed. It can cause us to shrink back into a hole and hope it goes away. And whereas from my experience, it doesn't work. It
doesn't go away.
It doesn't work. Or it can galvanize new hopes, new plans, and new passions to learn the lessons it can teach us. Facing pain may require more courage than we've ever had in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
At many different points, maybe even today, I can guarantee that you will reach the threshold of your pain and think, I've had it.
Yeah.
That's all I can take. Get me out of here. But it's not over. You simply turn the next page in your life story of excellent leadership. You're at this moment because you've successfully navigated many types of hurt, loss, grief, betrayal, and complexity. You've raised your pain threshold many times in the past. It's time to raise it again.
And then he's got this quote by Gerald G. May.
That's a great quote.
Amazing quote, The Awakened Heart. And it says, blessings sometimes come through brokenness that could never come in any other way. In reflecting on my own life, I have to conclude that grace has come through me more powerfully sometimes when I have been very dysfunctional and maladjusted. And, you know, blessings sometimes come through pain.
Yeah, of course they do. And then the next section of the chapter is common to us all.
Mm.
And I think we need to understand this, because in our culture, we see pain as we use the word intrusion. We see pain as something that shouldn't be happening to us.
Yeah.
The pain you experience isn't unique. Countless leaders in churches, non-profit organizations and businesses have suffered the same kinds of hurts and confusion. The answer isn't trying to construct a life that is pain-free.
Yeah.
That won't happen in this life. Only dead people and resurrected people feel no pain. Leadership necessarily involves pain. The higher you push your pain threshold, the more pain you'll experience. It's true in every field. Look at the photos of US presidents, or in our country, former prime ministers.
Yeah.
On the day they took office and the day they left, the strains and pains of leading the free world turn their hair grey and put bags under their eyes. The problem is in poverty. They live pampered lives. They have on-site medical care, the best nutrition, their own plane and outstanding staff to perform every assigned task. But the pain takes a toll. We may complain that the weight of the world is on our shoulders, but it is literally on theirs.
Yeah. And then he shares a quote here, and I found this quote very, very challenging. And it's Carlos Castaneda. And it says, "We either make ourselves miserable or we make ourselves strong. The amount of work is the same."
Whoa. That's true, you know. And Sam goes on to say, remember this, all choices are consequential. At some point, you'll stop seeing pain as the enemy and make peace with it. Like Paul, you'll see pain as a surprising source of strength. God's power, Paul learned, is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Paul was under no illusions about the difficulties believers face. Just as Christ suffered, his people are called to suffer too. I'm going to read a couple of quotes from the book, which is the Bible. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 to 12 in the Message, and also 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18 from the Message. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are a constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. And then down to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verses 16 to 18. And by the way, these are from the Message translation of the Bible. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace.
Amen.
These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's a far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can see now will last forever. Yeah. And then Sam makes this comment. When we believe this, not just in our words, but in the depths of our hearts, we'll be able to withstand far more pain. Our threshold will rise and we'll be far better leaders.
Yeah. And then he goes on to expect even more, the title heading. And
yeah.
He shares a great story here about Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan woke up in the middle of the night before a crucial playoff game, but he had the flu. He excused himself from the morning practice as game time approached. He was dehydrated and weak. He'd lost several pounds. He dragged himself out of bed. His teammate Scottie Pippen later said, "The way he looked, there's no way I thought he could even put on his uniform. I'd never seen him like that. He looked bad. I mean, really bad." Jordan sat in the dark room near the locker room. He visualized himself playing the game, running, shooting, and passing. He staggered to the locker room, put on his uniform, and told his coach, "I can play." And long story short, he did play.
He did.
But he almost fainted at several times. It says he was weak, and it was he had to really push through. But that night, he scored 38 points. And he actually scored the winning shot. But he said, if we didn't win, it would have been unbearable.
Bubble, yeah.
But he had to push through and push through and push through. And that's what made him one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
Mm. And his coach said this also on page 238. "Because of the circumstances, with this being a critical game in the finals, I have to say this is the greatest game I've seen Michael play."
Yeah.
"Just standing up was nauseating for him and caused him dizzy spells. This was a heroic effort, one to add to the collection of efforts to make up his legend."
Yeah. And then Sam says this, "This perspective doesn't minimise the pain we endure as leaders."
True.
"It puts it in context."
Yeah.
"Paul sometimes went into elaborate detail to describe how he had suffered, and Luke tells us how much more about the beatings, torture, and opposition he witnessed as he followed Paul on his journeys. The pain is intense, there's no denying that. But another layer of meaning is added.
Yes.
God is using it, even if it makes no sense at the time, for a greater purpose."
Amen. If we could grasp that perspective, Wes, we'd be transformed people.
Yeah. Our lives would change.
Oh, the way we view things, the way we behave and act.
Yeah.
The way that we view ourselves.
Mm.
That God can trust us with pain. And of course, the whole, as you said, the whole message of the book really is that leadership pain, the classroom for growth.
Yeah.
And God can't give us more authority in ministry until we deal with pain.
Yeah.
And Moses spent 40 years learning. So Wes, as we were rejoicing, I mean, for me, I've really enjoyed doing the book.
Yeah.
As I said to you before, I've listened to it a couple of times on my phone as I've been on the treadmill, helping me get over the pain barrier. We're now in the second final section of the final chapter, and it's entitled The Crucible of Humility. This leadership journey can often be lonely, so we need to make sure we find at least a pain partner or two to help us carry the load.
Yeah.
When we feel burdened and alone, we become either pitiful or furious, and some of us can be both in the same hour.
Mm.
We need someone to remind us that pain is inevitable, incubates and is indifferent, and that God is raising our pain threshold so we can become even more effective. Self-pity isn't humility. It is the opposite of humility. It screams for people to look at us and notice how much we've suffered. Humility is the bedrock security that doesn't demand or expect applause or recognition. The last paragraph there in 239. "For leaders, the choice isn't between being powerful or weak. The choice is between using your talents to exploit people for your own ends or to use them for the greater good. Leaders who are both powerful and humble are rare, but they have a profound impact on everyone in their organization. They value each person from the lowest cleaning staff to the executive suite. This is the kind of leader people love to follow. This is the kind of leader they believe in even when times are tough. This is the kind of leader who marshals the efforts of everyone to accomplish more than anyone dreamed possible. This kind of leadership begins with humility." And I've always been impressed, as you know, we're both football, soccer, wouldn't say fanatics, maybe you are more than me, but when you look at people like the Sir Alex Ferguson,
yeah,
and they treat the canteen people with great respect.
Yeah,
you got all these multi-million-pound footballers, but they treat people with respect in the canteen and the training ground. Everyone's an important part of the team, mm-hmm. And I think humility is very important.
Yeah, and I don't think there's ever been a greater manager than Sir Alex Ferguson, personally.
No.
And then we do reach our final section of the
book.
Paying It Forward is the title. And He just says this. He says, "The path through the storms may be dark and confusing, but we can trust that God is with us, holding our hands even when we don't sense his presence. And then he quotes this by Philip Yancey and then shares a story of Philip Yancey, which I'll talk about in a minute. He says, "God wants us to choose to love him freely, even when that choice involves pain, because we are committed to him, not to our own good feelings and rewards. He wants us to cleave to him as Job did, even when we have every reason to deny him hotly."
Yeah.
And that comes from Philip Yancey's book, Where Is God When It Hurts? And then Sam Chan talks about an accident that Philip Yancey had, a car accident. He was driving home, lost control of the car, crashed, broke his neck, and he got told that the bone from his neck could pierce an artery and kill him at any point. And it took 7 hours before the doctors said that he was out of the danger zone. But Yancey said that during these hours of pain and fear, he incessantly pondered three questions. Who do I love? What have I done with my life? And am I ready for whatever is next? And then he reflected, I should have been living in light of those ultimate questions all along. Of course, it took that concentration of pain to bring them into focus. Pain is inevitable, yet it can be useful and even redemptive.
And then he concludes by saying, don't run from your pain. Don't deny it exists. It's the most effective leadership development tool the world has ever known.
Yeah.
You'll grow only to the threshold of your pain. So raise it.
So raise it. And then he says, know this, you're at this moment because you have successfully navigated many types of hurt, loss, grief, betrayal, and complexity. You've raised your pain threshold many times in the past. It's time to raise it again. And then he says, just do this, describe the differences between self-pity and true humility.
Now that's an interesting question there.
Yeah, very interesting. And then he says, think about this, and he lists five questions there that I'll put on the discussion page, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And then as he finishes the book, he finishes it the way he's finished every chapter, and he says, and remember,
don't forget,
you'll grow only to the threshold of your pain. And just a reminder that our next book is entitled Encouragement, and it's by
Larry Crabb, and the subheading for the book is The Unexpected Power of Building Others Up. So that's Encouragement, The Unexpected Power of Building Others Up by Larry Crabb and Dan Allender.
Great. And we're going to start discussing that book in the first week of June. So we're going to take a little break, but we look forward to talking to you about that book then. And as always, we'd love for you to join the discussion.
Yes, we would.
It's been a privilege to be able to discuss this book with John and also with you guys listening. And I pray that you'll find further encouragement, even though we finished the book, that you'll still be encouraged by some of the lessons and things that you've learned, and that your mindset on pain would have changed.
And make them not just part of the book, but make them part of your life.
Yeah. So as always, go to carltoncommunitychurch.com/talkingbooks, find this episode, click the button and join the discussion. We'd love to hear your thoughts and how this book has blessed your life. And we look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Talking Books. We hope you found it helpful and encouraging. For more information or to leave a comment and join the Talking Books discussion, please visit carltoncommunitychurch.com/talkingbooks.